And I don't have an outline on the PowerPoint. I just want us to look in the Word of God here for just a few moments, here in the middle of a very hot, busy week. And I want us just to search our hearts tonight. And as Jason was singing, I'd rather have Jesus. I went to this thought of longing for God. And I came to this passage of Scripture, and it's a passage that I have studied on and looked at, and I want us to look at verses 1 through 4 tonight. If you stand to honor God's Word, we'll start there and then just give a few thoughts and search the Lord tonight. And Psalmist writes, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy day." We talked a little bit tonight about what it means, and are we longing for God? Father, thank you for your word. Bless our time together as we gather here on this Wednesday night, in the middle of the summer. Lord, I pray that you'll just give us a longing, give us a thirsting for your presence, for your power. Lord, may we have a true desire, Lord, for you to do something great in all of our lives. Bless our time here tonight. Lord, I just pray that you'll touch our hearts. Allow each one of us to have a true longing for thee. And may we just be able to sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything else." And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. The word in the first verse there, the word heart, H-A-R-T, is the old English word for deer. Deer. "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." I'm not an expert deer hunter. I don't know much about them. I saw Bambi. That's about the extent of my knowledge of deer, okay? Don't know much about them. Some of you do. But I read one time that a deer, when it's running from its predators, or if it's running from a hunter, knows what true thirst really is. The longing for water will be so intense, so overwhelming, that the focus for the deer is to find water instead of escaping from the predator or the hunter that's following it. Because it begins to want water more than it wants anything else, and it'll lose all focus of everything else around it. And that's what the psalmist is saying. "As a deer panteth after the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." You see, our desire for God should be that intense. We should have such an overwhelming focus of our lives of wanting, a longing for God to work in our life, to know His presence, to see His power. And too often, I think, we are satisfied to treat God in the casual way. Our love for God is no longer our top priority. Oh, we say we're saved. We say we love Jesus, and I believe that's true. I believe it is. But do we really long for that working and what God can do in our life? That complete, wholehearted, intense, committed love that should come and for no other thing or no other person other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe the reason we don't see things happen in our lives I believe the reason we don't see things happen in churches and our families is because we really don't have that kind of longing. We're satisfied to go to church. Now, I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd tonight. I know I'm talking to the middle of the week. People are willing to come on a Wednesday night and in the middle of the week to come and worship and fellowship and pray. I understand that. But what would happen in our church if the Wednesday night crowd had such a longing for God? I believe it bust out the seams of our church. I believe we would see revival. I believe we would see things happen like we've never seen before. If it started with just us, the Wednesday night crowd, and others that are normally in here, but because of vacations or work, they're not here tonight. I read where Moses, as he was nearing the end of his life, his great life of leading the nation of Israel, the book of Deuteronomy is actually a recounting of all that had taken place in the life of the children of Israel since they had come out of Egypt. And basically Deuteronomy is just those sermons for that new generation. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, and he recounts the stories. He recounts the move of God, the working of God, the miracles of God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you can write this down, I'll read it to you. He gives them the most important thing. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. What Moses wanted the new generation behind him coming to know was not all the great stories that happened to Grandma and Grandpa. And those are great stories. But the most important thing was not the Red Sea or the plagues or Pharaoh, but the most important thing was that they would love the God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And you know, I believe that's where we are as a church, as a nation of people, as people of God in this country. I was listening to a reporter this week, and I don't often watch news stuff. I just don't have time, and when I do watch it, I just get frustrated. But I saw an interview, and they were interviewing supposedly a pastor. I never did find out where he was or what kind of church he pastored, and he made a statement which is real shocking. It's probably true, that we live now in a divided United States of America. We're divided politically. We're divided economically. We're divided racially. We're divided socially. We're divided religiously. We're divided on lots of issues that bring people out and protest, you know, all these kinds of things. And this person who was speaking, he said, "I was not alive old enough to remember the protestings of the Civil Rights era or the Vietnam War era, all the riots and the protests. Some of y'all remember that kind of stuff." And he said, "It seems like the stories I've heard like that seems like what we're living in today." And I thought to myself, you know, maybe that's what it's going to take to get us as a nation back to where we need to be with God. It's going to take us, just with all of these issues going on, there's no other way to solve it except a turning back to God. A turning back to God is the only hope we got. And if Moses giving that commandment and David writing this in Psalm 42, but Jesus emphasized exactly the same things. Jesus in his ministry highlighted this commandment to be above the one that was above all others. Jesus said, see, here's the thing we must remember. The devil knows that if he can replace our desires, instead of God being our greatest desire, if he can replace it with something else, oh, it doesn't have to be something sinful. Don't misunderstand me. He doesn't have to get you to commit some great sin tonight. He doesn't have to get you to get out and drink alcohol and do drugs. He doesn't have to get you to commit adultery tonight. He didn't have to get you to lie, steal, and cheat, and break out any command. He doesn't have to do that tonight. He can just get you away from your desire for God and let your desire to be for something else. I mean, where that's your main focus. It could be your career. It could be your family. It could be your hobbies. And if those things become more of a desire for you than your desire for God, then the devil wins in that part of your life. He knows he can't get your soul. He knows he won't get you for eternity, but boy, he's going to try to make you miserable while you're here. I believe they call that being an idol in the Old Testament. Anything that we put in front of God becomes an idol between us and God. And God said idols need to be torn down. Idols need to be removed to allow God to have the rightful place that he needs to. So the Christian who loves God intensely and who desires his favor will live according to the Word of God. There won't be a real problem with that. And it comes down to our devotion. And that's where I want you to look in 1 John tonight. If you flip over, we're taking and putting these scriptures together. I love how the Word of God works together. Amen? I mean, it's not just pick and choose. It's not all separate things. I mean, it all has a flow. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So if we're longing for God as the deer in Psalm 42, John puts it this way in our practical sense and brings it down to an applicable way. It really comes down to either we love God or we love the world. We can't love both. We can't serve both. And maybe that's why we don't see God answering our prayer. Maybe we don't feel the presence of God working in our lives. We don't see God moving. We don't, whatever it is that we see and we used to have, maybe it's because we're not longing for God. Maybe we're not devoted to Him like we should. Maybe there's something that's come up that takes more of our time and our attention. We have more conversations about something else than we do the Lord. I was had a chance to witness to a teenager this week, and don't know how it came up. He brought it up, and just the whole subject of music, you know, how music, you know, and everything else. And I asked him, "What kind of music do you like to listen to?" I'm always curious what people listen to. Most of what he said, I never heard of, which is not surprising. But I did recognize names. I did recognize, just hearing, and it was nothing spiritual, nothing related to the Lord and everything else. And I said, "Well, do you ever listen to any Christian music or anything?" He said, "Well, why?" That was the question. Why? And I said, "I listen to Christian music because it helps encourage me and helps keep my focus on the Lord and whether it's worship or just encourage me in my walk with God or blesses me." And said, "Well," he said, "I never really thought how much music would have an impact." He said, "But you know, that's all I really think about is," and he named all these groups and all these American Idols and all the people who've won all the contest on The Voice, and you know, he could name all those things, you know, and everything else. But he couldn't name a single Christian song or a single Christian group and all. And I'll just use the opportunity just to encourage him to share the gospel with him. He didn't get saved, and I'm praying for him. But it was just a reminder to me that where you put your devotion, where you put your focus, where you put your conversation, music you listen to, the things you read, the subscriptions that come across, your emails, all of those things, where's your focus? Check your friend list on Facebook. Check the ones you're following. Check your likes. I had somebody tell me, somebody knows more about it than I do, they didn't realize that they had some things liked on their Facebook page that shocked them because they didn't realize they had clicked something like that, you know. And they had to go back and kind of clean that up because things kept showing up and people kept seeing that you liked something. You liked something. And like, "No, I don't like that. I shouldn't like that. That's stuff I shouldn't like." And so we have to be careful of that. A great illustration of this, and I'll close with this. I remember as a high school student, band student, we were in a marching, our high school marching band went to Washington, D.C. many years ago. And one of the most moving parts of that whole trip was at Arlington National Cemetery. If you've ever been there, you can't leave Arlington National Cemetery without experiencing and watching the changing of the guards at the tomb of the unknown soldier. Oh, man, just powerful. Our band director said, he said, I never thought I'd find any way to get all of y'all to be quiet at one time. And he said, but standing at the changing of the guard of the tomb of the unknown soldier and the clicking of the heels and the marching, and you can study this out. There's everything is regimented. There's 21 steps. There's 21 seconds. And everything is in detail. But one thing about it, when you study about it, those men, those soldiers who guard that tomb, make a long-term commitment to do that. And that's all they do. They the shifts and their appearance is meticulous. They get dressed in a full-length, front of a full-length mirror. They do not miss their time when it's their time to do it. You may have read that a couple of years ago there was a hurricane going up the eastern coast, and Washington, D.C. was going to have this tropical storm, almost hurricane force winds and rains, and the commanding officer gave permission to the guards at the unknown soldier's tombs to remove themselves into safety till the storm passed. Every single one of them said no. They were going to stand guard, even in a hurricane, and they did. And I read that, and my mind remembers being there as a high school band student, and I thought, wow, if these guys can be that dedicated to serve and do their duty, no matter what the weather, no matter what the circumstances, and go to all those lengths to do that job, shouldn't we as Christians who serve the King of Kings have that same kind of devotion? Shouldn't we be so devoted and so longing for God in our lives that nothing else mattered? And I think we live in a world where we've allowed everything else to matter. We allow everything else to take precedence. Our conversations, our fellowships, our friendships, and all those things. I read the creed that these guards live by, and they have to sign this, and I quote, I looked it up so I could quote it for you. This is what the guards at the tomb of the unknown soldier, this is what they had to sign. My dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted. In the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter. And with dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of the elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence to the best of my ability. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if we as children of God, as soldiers of the Lord's army, have that kind of dedication to serve God no matter what and to put Him first. See, when we love God like we should, the world holds no attractions for us. It's not attractive to us anymore. When God is in His rightful place, as the deer pants after the water, love not the world. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You put it all together. And I believe it gives us a real place where we need to be in our walk with God each and every day. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. Oh, goodness. There's so many things that distract us. And they're not necessarily evil things, but Lord, things that come away in the way in our lives that keep us from fully being dedicated to you, fulfilling our service to you, our love for you. Lord, it steals our joy, steals our passion. Father, I just pray that we can get back to where we need to be. As a deer panting after the water, Lord, let us have a longing for you like that, to where nothing else matters except you. Help us to not love the things of this world. Lord, there's so much out there to tempt us and distract us. Lord, let those things not have any place in our lives. Lord, let us put you first. let us walk with you and serve you. Lord, from the choices we make, as the people we hang around, to the conversations we have, the things we watch on television, the music we listen to, the things we read, Lord, I just pray that all of these things, Lord, will be a part of putting us in where we need to be with you. Only then can you work. Only then can you bless. Only then can we see the power and the presence of what's possible through fully, completely following you in our lives. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you that I believe with all my heart, Lord, this church, you have something great for us. I believe you have something for us. But Lord, we've got to get to where we need to be with you. We've got to put aside anything that distracts us, anything that hinders us. Our focus should be on you and nothing else. Lord, let that be the case tonight. Let it start with me. Let it start with us. Let it start with our Wednesday night group here tonight. And Lord, do a great work. Do a mighty work in this community, Lord, through the power and presence working through your people. Bless us this week. Keep us safe. Keep us cool. Watch over those of our sick and our shut in, Lord, in this type of weather. Lord, just keep them safe as well. And we pray, Lord, you bring us back on the Lord's Day. Looking for a great working mighty power of thee. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Stand with us. God bless you. Good to see you. Be safe. Be